Good morning, church family. Trust you are well. Trust you have feasted on Psalm 2. And I wanted you to know you can look forward to next week, Psalm 110. We're going to aim to do it 5 days a week now, give you the weekends off. You've had enough of me already. And Lord willing, next week, Monday to Friday, we can go through the 110th Psalm, hugely significant in the Book of Psalms in the Jewish Psalter. I had an encouraging note from some of you who have been listening, parents of some Antioch members far away down in KZN. And they said, "Hi, Tim, thank you so much for the wonderful devotions you prepared for us for lockdown. Our son has been sending them to us daily. We have been so blessed by them. I've never studied Psalm 119 in its entirety before. Psalm 2 was so relevant also. You have been a guest for coffee every day, and we will miss you. God bless you and your family." So praise the Lord. What an undeserved privilege for me. And so thankful for his living and active word in each of your lives. I want to tackle a little topic this morning while we've got a gap. And some of you may be aware, we as elders have, like many citizens of this country and many organizations, been very burdened about what life is going to look like now in this next stages of and levels and phases of lockdown, and what that means for our beloved nation here, for this country, and particularly for the church entrusted to our care. And so we really grapple, and we continue to ask your prayer. And even as I shared last Sunday in my sermon and in my pastoral prayer, we have issued we've written an open letter to President Ramaphosa, and that will be attached to this devotional on Friday today, and the day you're watching this. And we encourage you to read it prayerfully, and maybe even consider fasting as we wrestle with these things together. You'll and seek to give a Christian voice to our concerns, and in a respectful way. But you'll see it covers three main sections there. It's on our website as well, under About Us and Elder Position Papers. It's a letter to President Ramaphosa. And we say that essentially we are concerned that in the risk-adjusted strategy, there's no specific mention anywhere of religious gatherings. You may be aware they've been classified as completely non-essential, the same as pubs and sports clubs and other things. And so we are appealing that responsible religious gatherings be allowed from alert level 4 based on three grounds: our conscience, and we explain that biblically, and encourage you to read over that with an open Bible to be clear on what is not, what does Caesar command of us, but our highest authority. The crown is first on Jesus' head, the risen Lord, and we must obey him supremely. And so we just spelled it out here in terms of what we believe the scripture requires of us in our conscience as Christians. And then the second grounds of our appeal is the good of the nation, so that Christians can be salt and light, and for the mental, spiritual health of the nation when the church is needed most. And then thirdly, based on our constitutional rights, and we developed that briefly, and we believe that churches and those, no one would be required to attend, of course, anyone who's at risk or vulnerable or doesn't feel ready yet, but that that churches ought to be given the option to gather. And we've listed how we think that could be done very responsibly, very similar to what we did already. Some of you were there on our last Sunday before lockdown. Now, you might be wondering, a couple questions I thought I'd briefly tackle here. Does the Bible even teach human rights? Well, in fact, it does. Listen to a few texts here. The Bible's clear from Genesis that we are made in God's image, and though the overwhelming emphasis in Scripture is on our responsibilities toward one another, not our rights, but the way I'm to treat you, the way we're to treat all other humans, is to recognize they have rights as an image bearer, inalienable rights made in the likeness of the Creator. That's what makes murder wrong. It's a basis of many of the Ten Commandments, much of the Old Testament law. And in summary, listen to Proverbs. We saw some of these in our Wealth and Poverty series on Sunday nights a few months ago. Proverbs 29, verse 7. The righteous is concerned for the rights of the poor. The wicked does not understand such concern. In Proverbs 31, verse 5, and do not pervert the rights of all the afflicted. In verse 8, open your mouth for the mute and for the rights of all the unfortunate. I know many of you are in your businesses and your workplaces are burdened about the increasing restrictions, however well-intentioned, to stop the spread of the COVID-19 virus, and yet balancing that with the overall welfare and what's best for this country. But we wanted simply, from the church perspective, to raise our voice. It's interesting, in the New Testament, you do see the Apostle Paul twice in the book of Acts, chapter 16, and again in Acts 22, speaking up about his rights as a Roman citizen, and for the sake of the cause of the gospel, the witness of Christ as well. And so, I mean, we recognize, beloved, that this simple letter of appeal is in no way the focus of our Christian hope or church ministry. Whether our appeal is ever heard by government or not, Christ will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. No amount of government tyranny or authoritarianism or totalitarianism will ever stop the advance of the gospel. And the Lord will give us grace to endure and suffer gladly and be thankful and content and in all ways possible to submit and to honor the government as long as it's not calling us to disobey God. But we are also earthly citizens who happen, unlike biblical times, and in most cases, we are in a democratic country that enjoys many of the fruits of Western Judeo-Christian principles and hard-won religious liberties. And we have a voice. And so both as individuals, as citizens and residents of this country, and as a church, and we believe that these liberties and these blessings are worth preserving for us and for our children and for our churches. And so we wanted to exercise that responsibly. We ask you to pray with us about that. And there's many Christians around the world today, like in New Testament times, don't enjoy these liberties and have known only persecution. And God has given them grace. And the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. But ask persecuted Christians in the East or in a North Korea, for example, and they would, you can imagine, only dream of the freedoms we enjoy to be able to meet, gather, worship, preach the gospel, and so forth. And so we pray that the Lord would still uphold those here and give our government great wisdom. Personal freedom is not the gospel message, but it is the soil, you could say, culturally, in which virtues tend to flourish historically, so that we may, as Scripture tells us, why we pray for our rulers, 1 Timothy 2:4, so that we can lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity and have the religious freedom to live for the Lord. Liberty, it's kind of like literacy, someone has said. It's like a lever that allows the work of the church to see a multiplied benefit. So it's no wonder that countries that have a more vibrant Christian heritage have been able to send out many more missionaries and laborers for the gospel. And Satan has always had an interest in government tyranny and abuse of authority to hinder religious freedom and to cause great ruin in the lives of those made in God's image. And so let's ask the Lord to give us wisdom and patience and perseverance. In these days, we know many of you are facing all kinds of different pressures and challenges. And as we pray for our government, and as we continue to encourage one another in these times, and so take a look at our open letters, elders. Let us know if you have questions. Let's be praying and pleading with the Lord that our government would find responsible ways for Christians to be at least allowed, those who are able and willing, to be allowed to gather sooner rather than later to obey Christ in all of these ways. So thanks for hearing our heart on that, and the Lord bless you today.